We're going to make a quick shift go to another war of a very different type in a very different country that is more than 5,000 miles away, and look at a point in time where we used behavior change communication and risk communication models to try to affect the course of an epidemic. First of all, I have no conflicts to declare, and this also tells you that just because CDC approved this presentation twice and paid for me to come to the conference and said that I could actually speak here, if I put my foot in my mouth, I will have to chew that shoe entirely on my own. For anything that was done related to Ebola by any of us at CDC, we're acutely conscious that we were just part of an enormous response. And these are people and organizations that were critical partners in putting this particular campaign together. The constellation of partners changed somewhat with every undertaking that we had, and these particular partners and individuals were instrumental in making this happen. On the 20th of November, Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf declared that it was time to have no new cases of Ebola by Christmas. We weren't any place close to no new cases of Ebola on the 20th of November, and the president had just put that down as a marker. For those of us who have any experience in media relations and international media relations, we were horror struck because we were pretty darn sure we were not going to be able to do that. Nonetheless, we were invited to put together a campaign that would make that happen. Many things had changed since the beginning of the epidemic in July, and certainly in September and October, when it was escalating at a practically 90-degree vertical. And that is that at this point in the response, there were enough ETU beds. At the beginning of the epidemic, there were people waiting for beds that just didn't exist. We had rapid response teams, and those were groups that could go right to a community on very short notice. As soon as the potential for a hotspot had been identified, assess the situation and begin to get people to care or to put mechanisms in place right there on the site to treat and isolate patients. We had community care centers, which were interim locations. Schools were used, clinics were expanded, separate rooms were created so that people right in a community could be moved to a safe space where they could be observed until it was determined whether or not they actually were infected with Ebola. And we also had a high level of community engagement. By the 20th of November, the Ministry of Health was almost completed with a month-long activity where they trained 88% of their regions in the space of 30 days to engage community support for the Ebola response. So the time was right to make a change from the messaging Ebola was real, which everybody pretty much agreed to at that point, to something that would help us move towards zero. We were really science-based in this effort. First thing that we did was to sit down with our CDC subject matter experts, our epidemiologists, and laboratory scientists and say, what will stop Ebola? The Message and Material Development Committee in Liberia had done a superb job of developing messages, had tested everything. We had 24 pages of messages. All were very valid, but it was a broad range. And even though Ebola was coming down, it wasn't gone. And they said there were four things that science shows. One is safe burial. One is patients have to be isolated rapidly and get to treatment rapidly. Contacts need to be found, and then the contacts need to be kept in place with food and water. We looked at what theories and models might apply here, and amongst the many sobering things in life, one of them is presenting on a panel where the other presenters are academics. So if I misstate this, I am sure that there are many people here who could correct me. We looked at the extended parallel process model, which we know as being the justification for fear appeals in campaigns. The other thing about the extended parallel process model is it works really well in a risk communication environment or in a risk setting. To simplify it to the most fundamental levels, when there is high threat, people can take one of two paths. One is to control the danger, one is to control the fear. If you look at this again in a simplified way, fear control means that you do things like run away, hide the sick, don't tell anybody because people might find out, which were things that were going on in large measure throughout the throughout the epidemic. If you look at danger control, you need a couple of things. One is you need something called response efficacy, which means there is something that can be done. And that's what all of those four things that preceded this were: the ETU beds, the community care centers, the rapid response teams, and the community collaboration was all in place at this point. It had not been in place previously. And then you have to know that there's something that you can do and that you have the capacity to do that. And that's what this campaign focused on. We also looked at two RISCOM models. One was the mental noise model, which says when there's a high degree of stress, we have a really hard time sorting things out and being able to retain information. And the other one was a negative dominance model, which says that we recall negative information a lot more than we can recall positive information. To cut through these two, we pared it down to four messages, or five messages on the five main things, and we phrased everything positively. We also had one Liberia-specific action because people were still responding in fear. That had been deeply inculcated in just a few weeks' time. And so that action was tell someone. We wanted to normalize Ebola, just like malaria. People in Liberia say, oh, I have malaria, in the same way we would say, oh, I have a migraine. So we wanted to get to the point where people could say, oh, I have Ebola. We're not quite there yet, but it was a goal. So we had two tracks for this campaign. One was a public awareness track, one was a social mobilization track. Everything that was done on public awareness, the campaign materials, the press releases, the news conferences, the jingles, all were designed to support the social mobilization effort. We launched the campaign 8 days after we were given the assignment with a completely research-based set of messages. We were able to validate the messages with Native Liberians, revalidate them with Liberians who had just returned to the field, and then test all of the messages with 250 community health volunteers in a single day who had come in from all over the country and validate that the messaging that we had was not going to be offensive, was going to be able to be used by the community health volunteers in practice. The president went to a community that had exemplified the characteristics of the campaign early in the outbreak, and we launched the campaign with joint sponsorship from the Ministry of Information and the Ministry of Health. The Ministry of Information championed the public affairs component, the Minister of Health championed the social mobilization component, and they worked in collaboration throughout the response. We had strong level of community engagement. You will see here the pastor's wife who spoke at the launch of the campaign. We had town criers with messages in all of the villages. They had been given megaphones during the November outreach so that it would be easier for them to convey information. And we funded a very innovative project where the Liberia Film Institute, that teaches Liberians how to make short films about public policy issues, created films based on the five different activities or actions that we wanted people to take, and retrofitted taxis with giant screen TVs, DVD players, and speakers, and took them to marketplaces. They could also go directly to hotspots as they were identified and interface with the social mobilization personnel there. And at the visit of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, he and President Sirleaf both had on their Ebola Must Go messages. President Sirleaf said, we were the poster child of everything that could go wrong. And then she said, it's not just leadership, it's also the people in the communities. They were the victims, but they became the victors because they were the ones who took responsibility. We won't know, probably for quite some time, whether or how much the campaign affected this. We do know that it did distill the messages to five essential things that actually worked to stop Ebola. And within 3 months after the campaign was launched, Liberia had achieved zero for the first time. And as Dr. Frieden has said, Liberia has shown that it's possible to get to zero, and get to zero, and get to zero. Because there was another case just less than a month after the country was first declared Ebola-free. They were declared Ebola-free on May 9th, and then 2 months later, there was a new case and a new cluster. The same messages were used for that cluster to help focus the community's attention on the things that needed to be done, and they instituted something called voluntary community participatory observation, which meant that the people who were contacts were all identified, they stayed in the community brought them food and water, they stood outside a boundary and encouraged them. So we saw application of the principles outlined. You can find a lot of information about our response on the CDC website, and we're happy to answer any questions that may arise. Thank you so much. Thank you.